How's everyone doing today? Oh, Chris is good. We're all set. All one of us. Huh? Maybe we should have coffee in the back for everybody when we get here in the morning. All right, welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church Adult Sunday School Class. If you didn't notice yet, I am not Pastor Stevens. He is out of town. Where is he at? Missouri, right? Joplin? Remember to pray for him. He's preaching for a brother down there. And any other announcements or prayer requests that we have that you'd like us to pray for, Brother Chris? Chris has an unspoken request. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Really? Unreal. Pray for Brother Duggan. Job situation. The whole thing is shutting down? Really? Unbelievable. He must have crossed somebody up in Washington, huh? Right. That's amazing. he's a catch-up. Yeah. Obama's the catch-all these days, isn't he? Hooray. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Pray for a friend of mine. His name is Dan Meyer. I just recently asked prayer for him recently because he took a church in Massachusetts. And then he got up there and found out it wasn't all that they had made it out to be. There's some things where they're biblically really off track. And he kind of basically, he moved his whole family up there and now he told them, this is what's got to happen for me to stick around. And there, he's got a meeting. He's probably done with it, but he had a meeting with the men of the church this morning. And it's kind of a touchy situation, so pray for him. God will give him wisdom on what he needs to do, not only with the ministry there, but with his family. Having already moved them all up there, now what do we do? But he was willing to go, and I think maybe that's what the Lord was looking for, to see he was willing to go. But Dan Meyer is his name. Anybody else? Prayer request? Announcement? Notice the new directories are back on the table there. If you haven't got one yet, make sure you pick one up. Vlad has some good comics on the table. Make sure you check those out. All right. Got a few quotes for you here. I picked this book up at a thrift store a couple weeks ago for like a buck and a half. It's got some pretty funny quotes in here. So it's categorized, and it's on the front it has some quotations. Corrie ten Boom: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's a pretty good one. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. Abraham Lincoln. Now here's some quote. I know this may sound morbid, but some quotes about death. You can't take it with you. You never see a U-Haul following a hearse. My grandfather would look through the obituary columns and say to me, "Strange, isn't it, how everybody seems to die in alphabetical order?" During a recent gravedigger strike, the sign appeared at the entrance of one cemetery. Due to the strike, all grave digging for the duration will be done by a skeleton crew. It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. There are no dollar signs on tombstones. Maybe death and taxes are inevitable, but death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be turning around a little bit this morning in the Bible. Not that I have to prove what I got to say, but I just want to look important here, turning in the Bible and all. I want to make it look like I know what I'm talking about. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Okay, let's turn over one page or whatever, chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Okay, let's go over to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then one last couple pages over to Philemon. Read three verses there real quick. Philemon 1:1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Verse 9, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 23, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. It's amazing how other people are looking elsewhere for things to find answers to life when the answers are all written down in a book that you've provided for us. Thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd bless this time. Lord, I pray that you'd take me and just put me aside. Lord, every time my flesh gets working, bad things happen. And Lord, this is about your Word and about what you said. I pray it'd be a blessing to someone this morning. In your name, amen. Notice in these verses, did anybody notice a common theme there? Okay, good, good, good. Paul always mentioned that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So that kind of strikes a note with me. What did he mean by this? What did he mean by saying, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Does that mean he wants to get out and he can't go and he's stuck there, he can't do anything about it? It's kind of interesting. So I put a title on this, A Prisoner of Christ or Locked in Jesus. I mean, you could go somewhere with this with the eternal security theme, but working at a prison or a jail, it can kind of draw some common things between the two. And so I wrote down six things that they kind of draw a line between the two, between being a Christian, a prisoner of Christ, and being an actual prisoner in jail or prison. And I wrote down a few of them here. A prisoner is one who is confined in a prison by legal arrest or warrant. That's the definition in the Webster's. It's just kind of interesting that he would use the term prisoner, because most people would look at that and say, well, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, being a prisoner can't be any fun. It is for some until you get caught. You know, being a prisoner can be fun. But let's look at it. Just going to go through the Bible real quick and look at some verses. We're going to not only that, but we're going to look at the life of someone coming into a prison, someone coming into a jail, checking into a jail. I'm just going to draw some commonalities here that show what shows what Paul was talking about here when he said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Number one, he says, you turn yourself in. You turn yourself in on your own recognizance, also ordered by a judge. Someone who comes to jail, they go to court, they get convicted of doing something wrong, something against the law, something sinful, if you will, and the judge says, "Okay, here's the deal. I'm ordering you to report." Now, either some are taken. Two things can happen. They can either take them right from court and bring them out to jail, to the workhouse, or the judge says, "Okay, I'm going to trust you on your own recognizance, and I'm going to say you need to report to the Ramsey County Correctional Facility." I'll just use my facility for purpose. That's what I'm most familiar with. And you report to the Ramsey County Correctional Facility on this date at this time, and this is how much time you're going to serve, and I'm trusting you to show up at that place at that time to serve your time and become a prisoner. Okay, so here we go, and I just took some liberty here. I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, but I basically wrote a new Bible last night, and so bear with me. So you got the guy standing before the judge, and the judge says in Judge 3, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Except a man report to the workhouse, he cannot see the kingdom of Todd." They might be stepping over both. But then he says, there's got to be a different way I can do this, right? Can't I just do sentence to serve and go around and clean up bus stops? Or can't I just do home monitoring? Can I go home at home and have a bracelet around my ankle and do this? And then he said in Judge chapter 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must report to the workhouse." Okay, that was my other verse there. Then the judge also says in Judge, the book of Judge chapter 3, verse 16, "For the judge so loves the law that he gave the only solution, that whosoever believes what he says shall not have a warrant put out for his arrest, but shall do good time and be taken off probation." All right? So the judge lays down the law. He says, "Here's what you got to do. Here's what you did, and here's the sentence you got to serve. And you need to be at this place at this time and serve your time. That's the only solution. That's the only way you can pay for the crimes you committed." So he has to turn himself in. He doesn't have to. He's got a choice. "Well, I was supposed to be here Monday." "Well, it's Friday. Where you been? You have a calendar at your house? You didn't do what the judge said, so now you have to pay a penalty." So here we are as Christians, or as sinners, and the ultimate judge, Christ, says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, isn't there some... Can I work my way there? There's got to be... I go to church every Sunday. As one lady told me out door knocking yesterday, "Well, I'm devout." "I'm hungry." What? So what? Devout? Meaning what? So what? No, he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You must. You can't get into heaven without being born again. There's no other way. You cannot serve your time unless you do what I tell you to. You need to report to the workhouse and do this amount of time for that crime. You cannot get to heaven unless you're born again, unless you accept Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. There's no other way. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to do what he said. Hey, you're standing before me, but you didn't accept my Son. Didn't somebody tell you? Weren't you told? Didn't you read that tract that somebody gave you? He leaves you with a choice. You don't have to do what he said. But you're going to pay a penalty if you don't. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to burn forever, all eternity. So it's a choice. You have a choice to turn yourself in. You have a choice to get saved. It's your own choice. You get to turn yourself in. It's a humbling thing. So the first thing is turning yourself in. It's a choice. A prisoner has to turn himself in to do his time. A Christian has to turn himself into Christ and accept Him as a Savior in order to go to heaven. The second thing I noticed, here's something else I just wrote down. I just noticed. I don't know. Not that I didn't know, knew I wrote it down, but it's here. All by choice. Everything the guy does is by choice. Even if he's taken from court directly to jail, that's he doesn't have a choice in that matter, but he had a choice to do what he did prior to going to the, before the judge. He had a choice there. Life is full of choices. These choices are very important, turning yourself in. Okay, the second thing I noticed, commonality here or something similar between the two is you need to surrender all. Surrender all. Well, you've turned yourself into Christ. You've become His prisoner. You're in Christ. But once you get in, a guy turns himself into the workhouse and he stands in front of the counter and he's got his paperwork from the judge, from the court, and he has the clothes on his back and that's it. That's all he's supposed to come in with. He comes in with the paper, gives it to the guy behind the desk, and the guy asks him a bunch of questions pertaining to his health, pertaining to just all kinds of questions. Now they got into this mental health kick, and they're just answering all these questions. Do you ever feel like killing yourself? Do you ever eat a dead bat? You know, things, you know, it's just like, what? You know, where do you get these questions from? You know, it's just crazy stuff. And they, you know, no. You know, okay, now you need to empty all your pockets out. You need to give me everything that's in your pockets. Give me your belt, take your belt off. Take your shoes off, put them up on the counter. Take your clothes off, put them up on the counter. My underwear too? Your underwear too. Everything. They have to surrender everything. They cannot bring anything of their own into the facility. They give it all up. They have to give it all up. Okay? So here we go to the Bible I wrote last night. This is RCCF chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, inmate, by the mercies of the judge, that you present your belongings entirely only is acceptable. This is your only reasonable choice. You have to give us everything. Everything. What a humbling experience that is. Isn't it? To be standing in front of somebody you don't know with nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's an amazing thing. RCCF chapter 16, verse 25, for if you will try to sneak anything in, you will lose it. But if you will lose it now, if you will lose it now, your life inside will be better. So get rid of it. You can't bring anything in of your own. We as Christians, when we accept Christ, we need to surrender all. We need to give everything to Christ. I know we struggle. This is our daily struggle, is it not? Do we not all struggle in the flesh? Don't we want to? We struggle in giving up our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own actions. And isn't that what makes the Christian life that much harder? I'm trying to get my English better. I know last time I butchered it. Doesn't it make it that much harder to live the Christian life if we try to do things on our own? The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's begging you, I'm beseeching you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's everything. Giving it all. Holy, acceptable unto God. It's the only reasonable thing to do. And every day we realize that when we have problems in our Christian life, that we just, it just becomes hard, and And it's a struggle, and we don't feel right because we don't give Christ everything. Every decision we make should be prayed about. And everything we do, every time we face struggles in our Christian life, it's because we do it ourselves. We try to sneak something in that's not supposed to be in the facility. We bring in contraband. Contraband in a facility is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I remember one time I was checking a guy in at the admissions area, and I had his property up on the counter, and I went back here to get him some pants and all his clothing and everything, and I looked back like this, and I saw this hand come up on the counter and grab the cigarettes and pull them and run over. So I didn't run out there. I just slowly walked out there and watched him. And he saw him stuck him in a pair of socks that I had just given him. And then I walked back in, got the rest of his clothes, gave him his clothes, let him get dressed. And I said, and I reached back and I said, I called on the radio. I said, I got a code 1 at admissions. And they're like, he's like, what? What's going on? I said, you're trying to sneak contraband in the facility. What? I am not. I said, open up those socks. Man, oh, come on, let it slide. No. Can't let it slide. So he made his time that much harder inside the facility. And every time we bring something in, our own thoughts, our own actions, our own ideas, we make the Christian life that much harder than it has to be. It's hard to surrender everything to God, isn't it? It is. It's really hard. But in order to live a life that's better serving Christ, we need to do that. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Go by the rules. Follow the rules. Do what's right. Makes it that much easier. Luke 22:42, our example says, not my will, but thine be done. All that Christ was facing, not only at that time, but in the future, and he still said, not my will, but thine be done. How about Stephen? Lay not this sin to their charge. What an example. What an amazing man. If we could just surrender all. So we have turn yourself in and we got to surrender all. The third thing I saw is you're given a life which is not your own. You're given a life which is not your own. A whole new life. These guys come in, they surrender everything we got. We can't let them walk into the facility with no clothes on. That would not be a good thing. We can't let them walk in there with cigarettes. We can't let them walk in there with their cell phones. We can't let them walk in there with anything that's their own, but we have to give them clothing. So we give them a whole new set of clothes. We give them all new set of bedding to use. We give them a place to sleep. We give them food to eat. We give them everything they need. It's a whole new life. They don't wear anything that's their own. It's a whole new life. Back to the Bible I wrote last night. 2 RCCF chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any be at RCCF, he shall wear new clothing. Old clothes are packed away. Behold, all clothes are become new. Okay? So he comes in and he's given stuff he has to wear. He's given boxers, t-shirts, socks, shoes, jumpsuit, gym shorts, towels, everything. He's given everything to use. You got boxers that have been worn by a few other people in the past, and that's probably not a pleasant experience, but they are clean because I washed them. I know they're clean. But anyways, you're given a whole new life which is not your own. In CO chapter 6 verse 15 says, for in prison neither east sider nor west sider, neither blood, disciple, Crip, or Aryan nation availeth much but a new inmate. What you are, who you are, where you came from, it doesn't matter anymore. As much as it's a status symbol in jail and in prison to be from a certain area or be part of a certain gang or be, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, when it all comes down to brass tacks, you're an inmate. You're a prisoner. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You're a prisoner. Once you accept Christ, once you turn yourself into Christ, once you accept His Son as your Savior, and once you surrender it all, you're given a whole new life. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can't bring, we talked about this already, you can't bring anything old in and make it work. That's where a lot of churches go wrong today. They're trying to take their old life and make it work in the Christian life. It doesn't work. You can't have the rock and roll bands. You can't have, you know, what's next? Come as you are. Yeah, if you're unsaved and you're unsaved and you don't know any better or you've never been taught, come, you're welcome. Come on in. Anybody's welcome in church. But after you've been saved a while, things should start to change. You're given a whole new life in Christ. Why wouldn't you look at His rule book and see what He has to say about how we should look? Shouldn't there be a difference? I would say there should be some kind of a difference. You're given a whole new life. He died on a cross for you. He took away your sins. He rose from the dead. He did something for you that nobody else could ever do. Why wouldn't you try to make your life resemble that and say, I want to serve Him and not myself. I want to bring in the new and get rid of the old. Haven't we proven, isn't that why we came to Christ in the beginning? We stood before Him with nothing. We tried everything the world had to offer. We had everything. We tried it and came up empty. We dipped that cup into the world and came up dry every time. Nothing satisfied. Nothing worked for us. But yet we still try to bring it with us like it's, well, maybe if we try it this way, it'll work this time. No. Christ took your sin and covered it with His blood. And it's buried in the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that something new? He's got something for me. Just by accepting Him as my Savior, my sin is gone. Just by accepting Him as my Savior, I have a home in heaven. I don't have to burn forever in hell. I never have to taste of death. Why would I try to bring the old stuff with me? It doesn't make any sense. It's unbelievable, but we see it all in the world. They're always trying to bring the old stuff in and try to make it new for the Christians. It's old. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Unbelievable. Okay, let's Galatians 6:15 says, in Christ, neither circumcision availeth much or availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Doesn't matter who you are, every one of us comes from a different background, different nationalities. We're all one in Christ, though. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what, you know, if you're Norwegian or Swede or Polish or German or whatever. It doesn't matter what you are. We're all saved. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter. Why do we always get together and brag about what we used to do in the old life? It doesn't matter anymore. It's old. Forget about it. It's in, like Paul said, it's in the past. I press toward the mark. We need to be getting together and edifying each other in Christ and talking about positive things that Christ is doing. Look what He showed me in the Bible today. What a blessing that is. Edifying one another, talking about new things, edifying so we can move forward and not go backwards. It's just, I catch myself doing it a lot of times where I'm bragging about things I used to do in the past, and What is it? It's there again. It's temporary, for a temporary laugh, or, wow, I really impressed him. I'm number one again. You know, big deal. Big deal. It's just amazing. All right. So we turn ourselves in to Christ. We're now His prisoner. We surrender all. We give it everything. We turn over everything. We're given a whole new life. Let me ask you, has Christ let you down yet? Has He ever let you down? Then why not live for Him? Why not just give it all you got? He's proven Himself. Just in little things, why not give Him the big things? Just let him have it all. The fourth thing I've seen is as a thing that is a common between a prisoner of Christ and a regular prisoner is once when they come into the workhouse, they're given a rule book. They're given a book. It's not, you know, it's not like, isn't it amazing that the work rule books that the employer you work for, the books are like this thick, and the inmate handbooks are only that thick? You know, well, most of them can't read anyways. But anyways, it's true. I've had guys come in, I have a list, I have 2 pages of rules that apply to the laundry area. So when I get a new inmate on the crew, I say, you need to read these 2 pages here and then let me know when you're done. I guarantee you most of them just go up there and, okay, I'm done. You know, wow, he took the Evelyn Wood speed reading course, I see. You know, and one guy in the last month came, I said, I can't read. He's in his 30s. I can't read. Could you go over him with it? So I went over him with him. But most, you know, it's unbelievable. But they're given a rule book, and it has all the rules that apply to everything you could possibly imagine that could happen while you're at the facility. Your laundry, the TV rules, the dorm rules, the administration, the phone calls, the canteen, the everything. Not only does it have the rules set up, but it also has the penalties. If you cross this rule, you get 5 days loss of good time and 5 days in the hole. It breaks it down for them. But then they leave it open to say this rule applies to this, but is not limited to. Okay, so you got a leeway there where you can take something and stretch it a little bit and make it work. But and everybody said, here's the rule book. You need to read through this. Yeah, okay, we know that happens. You need to read through this so you understand the rules. You need to understand the penalties. Okay? So, okay, here we go. Also, not only that, but they need to listen to the correctional officers when they're working. The officers that are in charge of their areas, you need to read the rules, and you need to listen to these guys. They're in charge of your area. They run their area. You do what they say. So, Lieutenant chapter 4, verse 4 says, inmates shall not live by 3 hots and a cot alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Todd. Okay. Supervisor, chapter 25, verse 21. And the CO saith unto the inmate, well done, thou hast followed the rules without fail. I will lower your classification status and make you rule over many things. Okay? So here we go. We're given a rule book in the Christian life, are we not? It's very thick. And everyone who reads it on a regular basis has proven that you will never exhaust this rule book. You can read it over and over and over again and still learn from it. But it's also, you're given all the rules. You're given all the everything you're supposed to follow. You're also given the penalties if you violate those rules. So we have no excuse. When an inmate breaks a rule, did you say, did you read that? Did you know that's in the handbook? Well, I read it and I didn't see it in there. Oh, really? Well, here, let me show you. It's right here. Oh, okay. You're still responsible for it. Christ or pastor gets up here and preaches a sermon. So I didn't know that was in there. Well, here it is. It's right here. Really? Oh. We're going to stand before God Himself one day. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Okay? Here's the word of God I left you. Okay? Can you look up, tell me where it says what it's what I told you about raising children? Oh. What about living for me? How about getting rid of the old life? What is the Bible? What did I say about that in here? Well, I don't know. I didn't really study that well, did I? I didn't really read the rule book like I should have, did I? I didn't see that in there. You're going to tell God that? Really? You're going to tell God that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's left us the Word of God. To say we have something new, something revised, is saying that God didn't give us everything He said He did. You can't have something new. You can't have something revised. God does not change. If he thought we could have handled more than He gave us, He would have given us more. But evidently, we can't handle everything He gave us. So there's no need for something new or something revised. Because we got a rule book. And we're getting something out of it every time we read it. Something new. It's not revised either. It's always been there. Man shall not live. That's why the new and revised versions of the rule book take the part out. Man shall not live by bread alone. Period. They don't want it by every word of God. That we don't have it yet. We're still finding more artifacts. We're still finding more manuscripts and. I had a thought once, so I'm going to write that in there. You know, ooh, wow, you thought. Oh, good for you. Let's make him president. You know, Luke 4:4 says the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We do this. We go by the rule book. When an inmate comes in, you give him the rule book. He's also, when he says, okay, you're going to serve 30 days, he also gets what's called good time. So right off the bat, he gets 10 days taken off for good time. So he's serving 20 days on a 30-day sentence. But if he breaks the rule, say he gets into a fight is 5 days in the hole, 5 days loss of good time. Now he's serving 25 days. Okay? So you have good time to lose. But wouldn't it be nice to get to the end and say, hey, you did good. You followed the rules. You're going to get out. You're getting out 10 days early from what your usual sentence is. Good. You did a good job. So you're getting out on this date instead of that date. And he gets his stuff and he goes out the door. I mean, just he does good time. Wouldn't it be nice to stand before God one day and he's sitting there judging us for our works and he's judging us by the Word because it says that's what's going to judge us in the end is the Word of God. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. This is a guy, they get classified when they come into the workhouse. They get classified as a level 1, 2, or 3. 1, you can go outside and have an outside job. 2, you can work in the laundry or the kitchen or inside the facility. And a level 3, you basically have to sit in your dorm all day because you can't be trusted to go anywhere. But guys that do good time get promoted. Guys that do good time get their classification level changed. Guys that do good time get to work and makes their time go a lot quicker. A lot quicker than it normally would. Those who have a normal job, a regular job on the basis, could you imagine sitting at home all day with nothing to do? playing electronic video games or watching Maury Povich on TV. You know, how boring could that be? And the day would just crawl by. Oh, you gotta be kidding. But you get to work, and all of a sudden you're like, man, is it one? It's 3 o'clock already? It's 4 o'clock already? Really? It's amazing. So guys that do good work, they get promoted. They do jobs. They get promoted. Once you humble yourself and you give yourself to the Lord, you surrender all, you give everything possible you can to Him, you're following the rules, you're doing what He says, hey, I can use that guy in another area. I can use him in a different area of the church, or I need him over in this state, or I need him to go to Germany or as a missionary somewhere. And the more you show yourself worthy, the more humble you are, you realize that God can use you that much more. And He goes, I can use that guy somewhere else. I really can use that guy somewhere else. So we're given, you turn yourself in, you surrender all, you're given a life which is not your own, you're given a rule book to go by, and then you're given, we just talked about this a little bit, you're given a job to do. You're given a job to do. You got laundry, you got kitchen, you got the golf course crew, you got the nursery. They tore down, there used to be a farm there. It used to be a working farm where they raised their own cattle and pigs and crops and the whole bit. And man, we ate good. We ate really good back then. But the neighbors, after 50 years, started complaining about the smell. So they got rid of the farm and started raising plants and trees and shrubs and flowers. And so they got a nursery crew now. We have an engineer crew. They go around and help the engineers with the daily duties within the facility, fixing and things like that. So they get jobs to do. And they can lose those jobs. They can get, if they mess up on the job, they can be brought in. If they have an outside job, they can. A couple weeks ago, a guy got caught on the golf course crew. His girlfriend met him on the back of the golf course and handed him some cigarettes. One guy, this is no lie, I think I'd worked there 5 years, and one guy had snuck into the back fence, the back road to the facility, and dropped, it was in the wintertime, dropped a bunch of cigarettes and by a fence where he knew his buddy, when he came out on the work crew, he knew that's where it was going to be, so he could pick it up the next day and bring it into the facility. But this guy, all of a sudden, we get a call from this guy's wife, the guy that was supposed to drop the cigarettes. We get a call from his wife saying, hey, here's what happened. My husband went out there to drop some stuff at your facility and hasn't come home. He hasn't showed up. This is like a day later. Okay. So we sent some officers out there. They went out there, and here the guy had either hit his head or something and fell down and froze to death. And he's laying there right by the cigarettes and everything that he was going to drop off. You know, just an amazing thing. So this, if a guy messes up, he gets caught handing cigarettes or anything like this or bringing anything to the facility, he loses that outside job and he's brought in. You know, he's given a penalty. You know, you can't do that. You can't bring in, we've talked about that, you can't bring contraband to the facility. It's not going to work. We're given a job to do, though. You're expected to go by the rules in that facility, in that job. It's a job, it's a privilege to have a job at the workhouse. It's a privilege. You can lose that privilege by being stupid. It's a privilege to serve the Lord, is it not? It's a privilege to go out and hand out tracts. It's a privilege to talk to somebody about Christ, to talk to somebody about the Lord and His saving grace. It says in Mark, we as Christians are given a job to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do we do that? Probably not as often as we should. Probably not as good as we should. Brother Bryce, I know, sends letters in the mail to people he doesn't know. A bunch of us went out yesterday, knocked on doors, talked to people we didn't know. But it's a privilege. What a privilege. There's a lost world out there that's dying, going to hell. They think they're good. They think they're on. They're doing just fine. But they don't know the truth. They need to hear the truth. And we have that truth. And it's a privilege to be able to deliver that truth. No matter what they say, that's their own decision. They have a choice. They can turn themselves in or they don't have to. Matthew 22. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, familiar verses to everybody, I think pretty much. Verse 37 through 40, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's a privilege. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we want to. At least our heart attitude should be that way. We have something that our neighbor needs, whether we like him or not. Whether he's a jerk or the nicest guy in the world, we have something that he needs. And we have a job to do, and we have our job is to tell him about that, no matter if he cusses us out or all of a sudden you find out that this man's a Christian as well. Wow. Maybe he's just religious. He needs to hear the truth. We have a job to do. He's a creature. We need to tell him about the Lord. We need to tell him the gospel. Romans 14:19 says, Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Another one of our jobs is to edify each other. We talked about that earlier. We don't come here to talk about, you know, it's fun to talk about things that might have happened at work, mention sports here and there, things like that. But our main thing is to edify one another. Talk about spiritual things. Talk about Christ, you know. Talk about how good the Lord is. You know, those things, that's what makes the world, that's what makes being a Christian so well, or so good. That's what makes coming here on Sunday mornings and talking with brothers and sisters in Christ so special. There's a spirit here that's not out in the world. There's a spirit here that's not on your television. There's a spirit here that we can share, and we have that because we have that common bond through Christ. And one of our jobs is to edify each other. Every one of us is given a different place in the body of Christ. Every one of us is a different part of the body. We need to take that part and run with it. Every one of us has different gifts. And we're supposed to use that to edify each other and help each other and encourage one another. Everybody's having it. You may have had a good week, but the guy next to you may not have had such a good week. He may need what you got, what you have. He may need what you have to say to him. He may need the verse that God showed you this morning or spoke to you from when you read your Bible. He may need just that. So come to church, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Be a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 13, Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Ever as also ye do, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. Boy, there's a mouthful, huh? Studying, when pastor said, hey, could you take the morning, you know, at church, I really have an appreciation for what he does. Not only does he have to prepare for, what, 4 sermons a week and institute and what else? Listen to our crying and babbling and whining and complaining. And all this is what he does on a regular basis. And all I had to do is to get two lessons together. And it was like, oh, you know, wow. You know, what can people that have sat here for 20 years and listened to Pastor Stevens preach, what could they possibly need? You know, that's where the Lord comes in. You know, I would get up here and just share something that the Lord showed me. I hope it's a blessing. Maybe this is exactly what somebody needed. I don't know. That's up to the Lord. But He's behind all these things. But we need to keep pastor in our prayers. We need to build Him up. Well, I didn't appreciate what you preached. The man spent 3-4 hours a week on that thing, and you come up and say, I didn't like it. Really? Maybe it's not up to you to criticize it. Maybe if you look deep enough in your heart, you'd find, hey, I need to change that in my own life. Instead of spitting in his face. Why don't you lift him in prayer? How about praying for him? How about calling and saying, hey, I really appreciate the work you do. The man works 24 hours. He's on call. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Anybody here work a job like that? No. None of us do. But those that labor among you are over you in the Lord. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace amongst yourselves. That's a chore all the time, isn't it? The old favorite. Oh, he's sitting in my chair. I don't like him anymore. They said something to my kid. They yelled at my kid in the parking lot for running behind cars. Well, maybe you should yell at your kid for running behind cars, huh? All right, anyways. Be at peace among yourselves. We have something special here. And you can tell by watching the news and hearing the talk at work, they have nothing to give us. Oh, did you hear the latest scare now? The government shutdown is going to affect the meat industry. They can't inspect it, so that puts the public at health risk. And what are we going to do? Oh, shut up. Really? Oh, we got to get the government going again so everything can be screwed up again. You know, let's jumpstart it. Come on, we got to do something. But the Congress is still getting paid. Anyways, it's an amazing thing. We need to be at peace amongst ourselves. You know, to put it, I don't mean to demean it at all, but we're on a team. We're together. We need each other. Didn't Brother Grissom talk about that Wednesday night? We need each other. The times are not getting any easier out there for Christians. We're looked upon now as lunatics. We're looked upon now as the weirdos, as the hate speakers. And for years, this was the standard. But that slowly depleted through time, and now the homosexual movement, they're right and we're wrong. Unbelievable. We need each other. We need to strengthen each other and edify one another and build each other up. We're given a job to do, to preach the gospel. The two main things, well, we need to love God and treat our neighbors as we want to be treated. We need to preach the gospel. If we love God the way we're supposed to, all the rest of this will take care of itself. It will. If we love God, we'll do exactly what He wants us to do. We'll want to read the Bible. We'll want to do what it says. Okay. So, we turn ourselves in. We surrender all. Prisoners turn themselves in. They have to surrender everything they got. Prisoners are given a life which is not their own. We, as Christians, are given a life that is not our own. Prisoners are given a rule book to abide by. We as Christians are given a rule book to abide by. Prisoners are given a job to do. We as Christians are given a job to do. And last, when the inmate comes in, he's given an out date when he gets out of prison. Boy, that means a lot. I remember when I was in the Navy, I had a short-timer's calendar. It started when I had 365 days left. I had 300... you remember this, Brother Jeff? It had a piece of paper with 365 squares on it, and I'd just check it out every day, short-timer's calendar. You know, we'd had phrases like, I'm so short I could play racquetball against a curb. You know, I'm so short I could fall off the edge of a dime and free fall for days. That was phrases we used when we were in the military. You know, I'm short, I'm getting out. You know, in the military, if you're in there and you know you don't want to be there, you look forward to that out date. Guys in prison, I get out in a week. I'm short. 4 days and a wake up. Can't wait. You know, they look forward to that, man. I get to see my relatives, my kids. Some, unfortunately, are going on to other institutions. But they're excited about the out date. They can't wait to get out. Man, living. They get their life back. There's an extra spring in their step. They're working harder. They seem to be doing things, and because they know they're getting out soon. They seem to get a little more irritated. They seem to get a little more irritated the closer they get to their out date. Reason being is because the time can't go fast enough. The time can't get here soon enough to get out. We as Christians have been given an out date. We don't know when the date is, but we get to get out of here. We can't wait for that day. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You all know this phrase, but it's so fun to read, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's by the word of the Lord, not by anybody else. You got His word on it. The word of the Lord, not by any man. For the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a day! What a day. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hey, I know we had a bad week, but the Lord's coming soon. We get to get out of here. We have an out date. We don't have to be in prison. We're a prisoner of Christ, and we have that out date to look forward to. Don't stop serving. You get close to the end. You have that extra spring in your step. I want to tell more people about Christ. I want to bring some other people with me. It's going to be over soon. We don't have to worry about Washington anymore. We don't have to worry about rules and regulations and laws and all this stuff anymore. We have an out date coming. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Philippians 1:23. Excuse me. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What a day that's going to be. We get to see Christ face to face. Can you imagine that? You ever sit down and think about that? You close your eyes in death and wake up and there you're right in front of Christ. You just go, oh, this is great. This is so much better. I thought my alarm clock went off, but I woke up and here you are. This is so much better than my alarm clock. This is so much better than going to jail. This is great. We have an out date to look forward to. We have the second coming. He's coming back to get us. We can't get discouraged. We need to keep edifying one another and building each other up and getting ready for that day. Yeah, we get a little irritated. It's getting close to the time when we're getting out. Yeah, we're going to get more irritated with the people that, I don't want anything to do with your religion. I don't want anything to do with your God or your Jesus. Everybody believes differently. That's because you put your own spin on it, but we can't let that guy irritate us. They say, sir, all I can do is give you would you just read this tract? That's all I ask. Just read it. Just give me 5 minutes of your time to tell you about the Lord. No, I don't want anything to do with it. And it's like, ah. Come on, don't you realize what's at stake here? Your eternity is at stake here. Don't you get it? And we get irritated because it's getting close to the out date. We can't let that. We've got to keep edifying it. And one last verse. I'm going too long here. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So these common things. A prisoner of Christ. When Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, that's the kind of the idea I got from it. He turned himself in. We accept Christ. He surrendered all. He gave everything he had. We can't bring our old life into this. Given a life which is not our own. We're given a rule book to obey and go by. We're given a job to do. And we have an out date. Can't wait till that day comes. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this truth in your word. Pray it made sense. And Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the hour to follow as we look more into your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the Sunday schools now that are going on. And Lord, I pray that they were taught and they learned. And Lord, help us just to lift each other up and look forward to the day of your soon return. We thank you for it. In your name, amen.